Today's Quran conversation comes from Surah Al-Baqarah. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a story between, of course, Musa alayhi salam and Bani Israel. However, there is one important thing to be learned from this story to begin with, and that is that Bani Israel's story has been mentioned extensively in Surah Al-Baqarah. And it's not only the physical crimes that they committed, is also the theological crimes that they committed. Their aqidah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their perception of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their ingratitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what Allah highlights in Bani Israel, in Surah Al-Baqarah. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that right after they were saved from Fir'aun, right after that, instead of coming closer to Allah, instead of showing their gratitude to Allah, they turned to be ingratitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were unthankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there was a variety of things that they did. Amongst those things that they did was, they had a major doubt in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They doubted Musa alayhi salam. And this is why in Surah Al-Baqarah, there's a very beautiful ayah that many of us, we recite and we move forward. And it is, أَمْ تُرِيدُونَ أَن تَسْأَلُوا رَسُولَكُمْ كَمَا سُئِلَ مُوسَى مِنْ قَبَلٍ. That do you intend to question your messenger? This is Allah talking to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. أَمْ تُرِيدُونَ أَن تَسْأَلُوا رَسُولَكُمْ. Do you intend to question your messenger? Meaning Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. كَمَا سُئِلَ مُوسَى مِنْ قَبَلٍ. The way Musa was questioned in the past. And then he says, وَمَنْ يَتَبَدَّلِ الْكُفْرَ بِالْإِيمَانِ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ سَوَاءَ السَّبِيلِ. And here you see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is equating question or asking questions with kufr. Now, does asking a question mean that a person has committed kufr? No. Asking questions is recommended. We are told to ask questions. But what Bani Israel did was, they never asked questions. They always objected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a difference. One is to ask a question, one is to object. So, the story of Bani Israel that today we're sharing, or I'm talking about today, is the story of the cow. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it's not mentioned here directly in this surah, but what happened was that there was a person who was killed. Who was that person who was killed? This is mentioned in the books of tafsir. There was a very wealthy man. He did not have any family besides one nephew. And that one nephew who was very greedy, he was always after the wealth of his uncle, as some of the books of tafsir, they mention. So what happened was that one day, the people of Bani Israel, they woke up and they saw that this man had died. This man was killed. So they began to argue amongst themselves, and they said that let's go to Musa alayhi salam and let's ask Musa alayhi salam. So they asked Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam said, I will make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will inshallah inspire me, and he will tell me exactly what to do. As soon as he tells me, I will convey to you Allah's message. Allah said, وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَذْبَحُوا بَقَرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Musa alayhi salam, tell these people to slaughter a cow. So they came, so Musa alayhi salam came to them. Instead of saying, Ya Musa, you are our prophet, we believe you, you are the person between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever you tell us, we will listen. Amanna wa saddaqana. That's not what they said. They said, Atattakhidhuna huzwa. You see, this was their arrogance. No matter how much Allah gave them, They always were arrogant towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says that Musa alayhi salam said to them, A'udhu billah. You think that I would treat my deen as a joke? You think that I'm going to fabricate information? You think that I'm going to just make up something that perhaps has come from Allah, that it has not come from Allah? If I'm telling you that Allah is telling you to slaughter a cow, this is not from me. This is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you're telling me that I'm making a joke out of this? You think I'm not taking this seriously? A'udhu billahi an akuna minal jahilin. Now, they began to inquire from Musa alayhi salam as to what kind of cow. And they went into a lot of details. What type of cow does it have to be? Musa alayhi salam said, إِنَّهَا بَقْرَةٌ لَا فَارِضٌ وَلَا بِكْرٌ عَوَانٌ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ. It does not have to be too old, not too young. It has to be right in the middle. But the point is, what do we learn from this? What do we learn from this? And what we learn is that there's never a point that where we should question Allah's orders. You see, the ayah that I shared with you before, أَمْ تُرِيدُونَ أَن تَسْأَلُوا رَسُولَكُمْ. This is why Allah mentioned this. Because these people were so arrogant in their nature, instead of saying أَمَنَّا وَصَدَّقَنَا, they kept on having, you know, they would exhibit arrogant behaviors. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that this is not your position. Your position is, I'm telling you to do something and you do it. And this is why for all of us in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we do not have to question everything we're told to do. If Allah says to us, you pray 5 times a day. I had a young man came to me, he said that why isn't, if Allah wants us to pray 5 times a day, khalas, I'll pray 5 times a day. I'll wake up in the morning and I'll pray my fajr, in my dhuhr, in my asr, in my maghrib, in isha. Khalas, in 10 minutes or like in 15, 20 minutes, I'll finish all my five daily prayers. Because that's what Allah wants, right? And I said, no. There is, as Allah says, inna salata kanat al mu'minina kitaban mawqutan. There is a time fixed, a time that is specified for every single prayer. You have to pray those salawat in those times. Now, why those times? We don't know. Now, we may say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to do such and such. Perhaps this is the hikmah behind it. But to say that this is why Allah told us, this is not the position of ours. We need to say that because Allah told us and that is it. Why do you pray 5 times a day? Because Allah told us to do so. I went to an interfaith gathering one time. They said, why does a woman have to wear hijab? Because Allah said so, simple as that. Now some people will say that, well, because Maryam alayhi salam used to wear it and all the nuns wear it and this wear it. And if you look in the past, all religious people, women would always cover their hair and so forth. Yes, you can probably give that explanation. But specifically, why do Muslim women have to cover? Because Allah said so, simple as that. Because our deen tells us that it is not our place to apply logic and say that I think I know better. You understand? And this is why, you know, there's a very beautiful point here I want to share with you. Many people have asked, why this surah, the longest surah in the Quran? Think about it for a moment. The longest surah in the Quran is called Surah Al-Baqarah. Why? Because in this same surah, there's mention about the Qibla, right? The change of the Qibla. In Surah Al-Baqarah, there is mention about Siyam. In Surah Al-Baqarah, there is mention about Hajj. In Surah Al-Baqarah, there is mention about marriage and divorce. In Surah Al-Baqarah, there is mention about spending money. What is considered as riba? When you take a loan, what are the adab? What are the etiquettes? It makes you wonder why this entire surah was named after one story. And the ulama, they give a very beautiful explanation. And they say, when a person reads Surah Al-Fatiha, and in Surah Al-Fatiha, we recite and we read, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Ya Allah, guide us to the right path. In the next surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهُ هُدَى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. This is a book. You're asking for guidance? I'm giving you this book. This book has all the guidance that you need in your life. Hudan lil muttaqin. But the very first criteria when it comes to iman is that you cannot question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And perhaps this entire surah has been named Surah Al-Baqarah because the most important lesson to be learned from Surah Al-Baqarah is that you can never question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why Allah says, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. You have to believe in the unseen. The world is telling us to believe in the seen, to believe in what's in front of you. Do not believe in something that is beyond us. But our deen has taught us that no, our deen is that we believe in Allah. We don't ever question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can ask a question, but we cannot question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is perhaps the very first thing that Allah wants us to learn from Surah Al-Baqarah. Hence, this whole surah has been mentioned or has been named Surah Al-Baqarah, because the most important lesson to be learned from Musa in the cow is never to question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they kept on engaging Musa alayhi salam. What kind of a cow is it? And what kind of a color is it? فَاقِعُ اللَّوْنُهَا تَسُرُّ النَّاظِرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it has to be yellow. Not the type of yellow that you look at it and you grim, but a type of yellow that you look at it and it's appealing. And then they kept on asking. Now interestingly here, part of what I just said earlier about when Allah tells us to do something, we don't ask why, but we do. You see, this story, by the way, if you look at this entire story of Surah Al-Baqarah, the story of Baqarah in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah mentioned the hukum first. Pay attention. If you want to go back home, you can go back and read the ayat. It starts off from ayah number 67, and it goes further ahead for another 10 verses. If you read the entire surah, Allah did not mention the story first and say, this is why I'm telling you to do this. Allah is telling us what to do first. Our job is not to know what the story behind is. Allah is telling us to do something, we do it. Allah is telling Bani Israel that you do what you have to do. Worry about the story later on. But see, this is what submission is. This is exactly what submission and iman is. At the end of the story, at the end of all these ayat, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَإِذْ قَتَلْتُمْ نَفْسًا فَادَّارَأْتُمْ فِيهَا فَقُلْنَا اضْرِبُوهُ بِبَعْضِهَا. Allah is telling them at the end, you take a cow, slaughter the cow, and take a portion of that cow, and you strike it on the dead person, and the person will reveal the name. And this is exactly what they did, but you see, they made their life difficult. When they transgressed, Allah made their life difficult. Now, a second lesson to be learned from all this. When these people were looking for this cow, they came across a young child and a mother. And this, they came to the mother and they said, that what is the price of this cow? Because this is the cow they've been looking for. And that time the mother, she said, there is no price on this cow. I don't want to sell this cow. The child said that, you know, I don't want to sell this cow right now and so forth. When they insisted, they pushed the mother very hard. The mother said, okay, fine, I'll give it for 3 gold coins. I'll give it for 3 gold coins. The child said 3 gold coins. The mother said, no. This cow is, you know, once again, the demand is very high. The supply is very low. So what happens to the price? It goes really high. So you want this cow so bad, and this is a one-of-a-kind cow that you're looking for? The price is more than 3 gold coins. So they went back and forth, and the child just said that even if you give us a skin filled, meaning that as big as this cow is, you take the skin of the cow, and you fill it up with gold coins, probably then I'll think about it. And the mother said that, you know what? Actually, I agree with my son. If you give us a skin filled of gold coins, then we'll sell you this cow. They had to pull in all the resources just to get this lady a skin filled of gold coins. But the question is, what's the story behind this? The story behind this is that their father was a very religious man. He was a God-fearing man. And he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before. This is mentioned in some books of tafaseer, that he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Ya Allah, I have served you my entire life. And all I have is this one son. I leave behind this one wife. And the only wealth I have, the only asset I have is this one cow. And Ya Allah, I'm putting all this in your hands. I'm dying. Ya Allah, you take care of them. Now, how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take care of them? Brought them so much gold to them as a result of this man's dua. Which what we learn from this is that a parent who is righteous, a person who is righteous and they leave behind, is not like this. Now, let me say this. It doesn't mean that a person cannot leave behind assets for their children. That's not what I'm saying. But this man, that's all that he had. That's all that he could afford. That's all that Allah gave him. So he's leaving that behind and saying, Ya Allah, you take care of my family. And subhanAllah, lo and behold, Allah did take care of his family by bringing in so much gold to this family. And the lesson learned from this is, when a mother and a father are truly righteous towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will help take care of them. Allah will look after them. Allah is once again al-wakil. He is al-hafidh. He is the one who's going to look after the family. And there's a lesson to be learned in this for all of us. Even in the story of Musa and Khadr, when Khadr, he was making sure that the wall will remain straight. What did he say? He says that because underneath this wall, وَكَانَ تَحْتَهُ كَنْزٌ لَهُمَا وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. Their father was righteous, and that is why I want to make sure that if this wealth is exposed to the people of the city, they will take it away. I want to make sure that this wealth is preserved for their children. So the second lesson to be learned from this story is, just like the first lesson is, we don't ever question Allah. The second lesson to be learned is, if we are righteous towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, something that we all are always worried about, that what's going to happen to our children afterwards. If I, God forbid, die, what's going to happen to my children? If you are righteous, then inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of your children. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those who will learn from the Qur'an and apply the Qur'an in our life. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. Wa jazakum Allah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
إن المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات والقانتين والقانتات والصادقين والصادقات والصابرين والصابرات والخاشعين والخاشعات والخاشعين والخاشعات والمتصدقين والمتصدقات والصائمين والصائمات والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات والذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات أعد الله لهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما.